Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Today on an episode of Real Ghost Stories Online that is sure to traumatize your neighbor's asshole dog. I really hate that thing. He won't stop barking. Anyway, real people in real situations share their traumatizing ghost stories with us, hoping that you can understand and relate to the shocking and sometimes malevolent supernatural activity they suffer with. And maybe, just maybe, it can help to solve a paranormal unsolved mystery. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us. We'd love to hear them. Of course, you can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you really like the show, you want access to all of the extras we have out there for you, which is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Yeah, get that. You also get EPP bonus episodes every single week. EPP stands for Extra Podcast Person. That's what you're officially titled when you become a supporter of the program. You get brand new ones every week, plus our archive of those, which is like 400 some deep. Advanced episodes, and all of it's commercial free. So if you like the show and you want to listen and binge and no ads and you have everything, ghostpodcast.com, go there. Or you can go through Patreon and get it all there too. Patreon.com/realghoststories, or look up Real Ghost Stories Online. Ghost Stories Online, part of the title, on the Patreon app, and find us there. We greatly appreciate your support. It's Tony and Harper with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
Did you have fun attending that wedding?
Attending the wedding that we went to this weekend?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shocking news, you're not married.
That's true. We went to a wedding over the weekend, and my girlfriend was in the wedding itself. I was the wedding coordinator, which, secret, I've never coordinated a wedding before. I've done like DJing, and a lot of the DJing of a wedding is kind of coordinating, or at least it used to be. You do a lot of that stuff with it. So I guess I kind of have, but never had the title. But yeah, from start to finish, had to kind of line that up, get people going here and there. It was like herding cats, blind drunk cats is kind of what it was like. But in the end, it really was a beautiful afternoon. But yeah, me and my girlfriend, we got our picture taken in front of, it was an outdoor thing, and it was like a outdoor gates that you walk through. And she was standing there. She had a purple dress on. It looked beautiful, holding flowers. I was not in the tux. I was in a suit, though. And we got a picture together, and it looked really nice. It was a beautiful picture.
congratulations.
And then I started getting congratulations. I'm like, what is he congratulating me for? And I'm like, oh, they thought I got married. Even though I said, like, on the caption, I'm like, we attended a wedding this weekend. But thank you. I guess we cleaned up pretty well. If people thought we were getting married in that picture, we were laughing about that at lunch today. And she's like, oh yeah, we were standing by the, and people don't really wear white all the time. She's like, oh my God, I can totally see how people were thinking that. So no, we're not married, but we're good. It's a very happy, healthy relationship. So, but we're not married as of right now. So that's where things are at there.
Also, breaking news, people who attend weddings are not married, are not getting married.
Yes, that's, but, you know, again, I get where people may have thought that for a moment or two, but it's kind of funny. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. To share your real ghost stories with us, we would absolutely love to hear them. Let's jump over to this caller and hear this ghost story. Hi.
So this event happened approximately 6 years ago, back in the Philippines. It was a day after our college graduation, and we went on a trip to celebrate. We went to an island hopping, and, you know, usually got drunk during one of the parties in one of the islands. And that time it was like midnight, and our boat driver decided not to drive us back to the mainland because he thinks that we're either too drunk or too wasted to ride in a boat, and it's going to be dangerous for us. So we decided to find a place to stay, you know, for us to spend the night. And the inn that we've found is seemingly a new building that looks different from any structures in the island. It's a concrete structure with multiple rooms, so we get it for a bargain price. When we asked the owner why it was so cheap, they said that they're just keeping a tradition of hospitality that was started by their grandmother. So we occupied three rooms, one taken by my friend and his girlfriend, and the rest by us. And I bunked with three other friends. Now, what seemingly like a normal sleep was disturbed by a sound. It was a scream from the other room. It was my friend and his girlfriend's room. So we hurried to their room to check what's going on, and it took them a while before they can open the door. And when my friend opened the door, we saw her girlfriend or his girlfriend sitting and crying in the corner of the room, terrified, as if, you know, something terrible has happened. We thought, you know, it was my friend who's doing something bad to her, but apparently that's not the case. When we asked our friend what's going on, he didn't answer and just pointed to the bed, who, you know, the bed looked like it was, you know, flipped all over by something or someone, I don't know. They did not say anything about it. So what we just did is we invited our friends and his girlfriend to the other room so that we can all, you know, go back to sleep and just, you know, hopefully get the answer the next day. And so the next day, I got up early. You know, I really wanted to see the sun go up from the mountains in the island, something like that. Basically just wanted to see the sunrise on the beach. But on my way out, I saw an old lady, an elderly lady. She was looking at the, she looks like she was checking on the furniture. So I approached her and gave her the mano respect. The one that, you know, you hold the hand of the elderly and put it to your forehead. It was a traditional Filipino greeting to the elderly. And then I asked her where she's living, and she told me I was living upstairs. And her answer is actually a bit weird for me because the words that she used, some of those words were actually no longer in use in the local dialect or in the local, you know, in the local language. So it's, think of it as old English, if it's English. So it's a bit, the answer was a bit weird for me, but, you know, I didn't really mind it because she's old. Probably that was the language before and that's how they use it in the island, so I didn't really mind it. So I went out the house and the sun was already rising, and when I came back I was able to take a glimpse of the house that I wasn't able to do during the night, and I realized that it was a big house, but it's just one story. There's no second floors or even an attic. So that old lady's answer flashed back to me, saying that she lives upstairs, and damn, that house has no upstairs or something. So shocked me, and I went back and I tried looking for her, but she's nowhere to be found. And during breakfast, we were finally able to get answer from my friend and his girlfriend what happened. So he said, you know, they're on their way to, you know, making love or having sex, but they haven't really started it. They're just, you know, getting it started, something like that. When my friend said someone or something pushed him out of the top while he's on the top of his girlfriend, someone pushed him off the bed. There's a force. He said it was, feels like an arm, but he couldn't see anyone or anything. Pushed him. He was pushed off the bed. And then when his girlfriend, you know, got up, the moment that his girlfriend got up from bed, the bed was flipped over to the side, and they can't explain whatever it was, and they swear no one is in the room. It was a small room, so we can attest to that, and no one can fit through that very small window if it's really someone. But they didn't see anything. It was just, he said it was just a strong force that pushed him and, you know, flipped the bed over. So they got really scared, and, you know, we went to the owner and ask her what's going on. Is this place haunted? Because, you know, we've experienced a couple of weird stuff. And when we told her the story, she immediately understand what's going on, and she said, "That's probably my grandmother." So when she explained it, she said that inn was built 3 years ago, but what was originally standing there before that inn was their ancestral house that was out there for like 300 years, but was demolished and was, you know, converted into an inn. So she said her grandmother is a good-natured lady, very nice lady, very hospitable, and really welcome everyone from anywhere. All the visitors that she got, you know, gets the best welcome and hospitality. And they said there's a rumor that she even served both American and Japanese soldiers during the World War II, although, you know, Japanese stole a lot of her stuff, but they still served them. But she said that though she was a good-natured lady, very nice lady, she said that her grandmother was a tiger strict in implementing, you know, religious moral values or something like that, and she is very strict about that to her children and eventually to her grandchildren before she passed away. So, you know, she get the idea that maybe her grandmother doesn't not want premarital sex or something like that to happen inside our house because our friend's about to do it. So she's probably trying to stop them from doing it because it's immoral or something like that. And, you know, when she showed us the picture, it really matches the face of the old lady that I saw in that morning, earlier that day, and it was just less gloomier. So before we leave, we left the house, we actually offered prayer and apologies for her. So, you know, just to make sure that we can pay respect to the old lady. And yeah, it was a bizarre experience for us. I've experienced a lot of different things, but this one was, you know, something, I'm not sure if it's really scary, but yeah, it scared the hell out of my friends. So yeah, that's my story. Hope you guys like it. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thanks for sharing your story. Yeah, I think it was probably that. It was probably grandma going, nope, you're not going to do this in my house. And that's what you got from the grave.
Yeah.
Pretty straightforward. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over to this caller.
Yay!
Hear a ghost story. Hi.
Happy holidays, Brewskies. I called the other day and my call got cut off, and I have not had a chance to call back until now, and I wanted to wait until it was later in the evening and it was quiet. So I will repeat. I think most of the first thing I was telling you got recorded. In the event that it didn't, I'll just repeat it, and then I'll tell the, I had another thing to say, actually. So that's what got cut off. So anyway, last weekend, my parents visited, my husband and I, and I told them about your podcast. And my dad was, I mean, they both loved it, but my dad was like, this is great. You know, and I told them, you know, to explain to him, you know, people call in, and he didn't understand at first. He's like, are they live? And I'm like, no, they just call in, and then they play they play the recorded stories. And I go, it's really nice that so many people are willing to share what they've been through, because sometimes, you know, we are judged or whatever. And my dad brought up something that his sister his sister's family. So this is his sister-in-law. The story that, and I know because I remember this, she had told my mom, and I do remember this story now. I had just forgot about it. It was probably when I was in college. My aunt's sister-in-law, her father was dying, and it was, you know, obviously really tragic. He was in the hospital. He'd been in the hospital for a while. And it was sad. Most of his kids were all, they were all adults. So they were like, you know, everybody was going back and forth from the hospital to their homes and, you know, taking care of their children and all that. And it was just at the same time really tragic to see, you know, their father die. And one of the sisters, so this, you know, would be my aunt's sister-in-law. There were more than one, though. I want to say there was like four kids. And I just don't know, you know, who everybody was. But I do remember that this was, I'm not going to say the name just for their, you know, their own anonymity. But she decided one evening just to go to church, and not because there was a service. She just wanted to sit and kind of just be in peace. And when she got to the church, she said it was, you know, pretty much no one was there. The pastor was there, and there were a couple people, but they had really kind of walked in and out. And she was just sitting in one of the pews, and she was just kind of thinking, and, you know, obviously a lot going through her head and reflecting on everything. And all of a sudden, she felt a hand on her shoulder from behind, and the person said her name, and they said, peace be with you. And she said, I mean, she obviously immediately turned around because she didn't recognize the voice, but the voice knew her name, and no one was there. And she was obviously very startled. She said it wasn't scary, but it was more just shocking. So she got up and actually went, and the pastor was coming out of his office, I think, and she didn't even tell him what happened. She just said, is anybody working here? Like, I think they knew some of the people that worked there. So, I mean, she was just looking for any explanation, and there really wasn't one. And I think in the end, she felt like it must have been an angel or something like that. I don't know what to think, but I know that I know this person because I've seen her at family events when I go to my aunt's house and she comes over, and she's again a very level-headed person. She wouldn't make something up, and I think this really actually was very groundbreaking for her when it happened, because she was so upset and losing her father, and this was just, she said that when the hand touched her, it was like this calming effect went over her, and it was unbelievable. But I thought it was a really cool story, actually, this particular one. And then the other thing that when I got cut off was a lot of things that I've noticed on this podcast as I listen to it more and more, and everybody's stories they share. One of the things that a lot of people say is, like, they realize as they've become adults that things that have happened to them as kids, they may not have realized may have been paranormal. For instance, like an imaginary friend, or thinking that they saw something that wasn't there and they didn't understand that that would have been paranormal. And that kind of reminded me of something. When I was in fifth grade, my friend and I, we were in our art class, and the teacher sent us to get more supplies from the art closet, which was on the opposite wing of our elementary school. It wasn't a big elementary school at all, so we just walked around the corner. And the closet was pretty big. It was like, it wasn't like one of those closets where you'd squeeze two people in and you'd be like crushed. It was like a large walk-in closet with all the supplies and a lot of shelving. And the door shut behind us, and we collected whatever we needed. I don't even remember what we were getting, but whatever we needed to collect, we got. And then I went to open the door, and I couldn't open the door. And I kind of turned around to my friend, and I said, the door won't open. And she said, what do you mean the door won't open? And I said, I think it's locked. And she goes, well, it can't be locked. There's no lock on it. Which I knew that too, but I'm like, but I can't open it. So she tried to open it. It wouldn't open. And then I tried to like push on it with my, you know, the side of my body. And, you know, I said, you know, I almost thought it was kind of funny at first because I didn't understand. I didn't panic or anything. I don't know why, but it was just sort of, it just struck me as what's going on. I never thought anything out of the ordinary. I just thought, how did this happen? How did we get, I figured the door jammed or just got stuck. But it was just odd how easily I walked into that closet. Like, I opened that door myself, and it opened very easily. It wasn't stuck. It wasn't, like, it wasn't sticky or having trouble. You know, like, if you have a door that's getting stuck as you open it, it opened perfectly. So I was like, what is wrong with this thing? And then my friend it was both of us. It would have been a little bit, I would have questioned myself if I had gone in there alone, but because my friend was with me, we both could not budge that door. So finally, like, I said to her, like, they'll come and look for us. And the next thing I knew, I heard a class coming down the hall, and we just not banged on the door and said, hey, let us out. And this kid opened the door, and he just kind of looked at us kind of funny, like, what are you guys doing in there? And I just said, thank you so much for opening the door. We were locked in. And he just kind of was like, how are you locked in? There's no lock. And we didn't really look back. We just wanted to get back to our classroom because we figured our teacher was going to be pissed. So we get back to our class, and the teacher's like, where have you guys been? And we're like, we got locked in the art closet. And the teacher was like, girls, seriously. And we're like, I just said, I don't know what to say. I told her what happened. I told her the truth. I think because when you are telling the truth, especially children, I think sometimes you can just sense it. But I just said to her, we got locked in this art closet. I have absolutely no idea what happened. I don't understand. But I could not budge the door. I couldn't open it. And then this kid from the other side opened it without a problem. I look back now and I wonder, was something paranormal holding it shut? I go back to my friend's story in the theater again that was a public restroom in the theater, but her husband couldn't push that door open. It was like a cement block, except, you know, she had walked right out of it about 2 seconds before he was trying to push at it when she said she just got the feeling to get out of there. Same kind of thing. I wonder if I don't remember being scared in there. I don't remember it being cold. I don't remember anything unusual about what happened in there. It was more like the light was on, we got the supplies, and we were just kind of laughing because the door wouldn't open. But beyond that, that was the only weird thing. There was nothing else. I'm not going to tell you, we heard voices or things started flying off the shelves. That didn't happen. Nothing. I didn't notice anything. There was nothing else that was strange, but it was awfully strange that door would not budge, and neither one of us could could move it. You know, it wouldn't even, like, the handle would go down, but it wouldn't even turn the handle to open the door. It was very bizarre. And now as I look back at that, I just think, that's interesting. You know, it kind of, like, makes you rethink some things. It may be nothing, but I think it's awfully odd that a door wouldn't open that has no lock. So we couldn't have been locked in. I don't even think it's that easy to lock yourself into something like that. And it was just a strange occurrence that I don't have an explanation for. So I just, you know, it makes you think, especially as a kid, and I know, like, schools are, you know, kind of can have that history. I actually ended up working in between my junior and senior year of college at one of the similar schools in my hometown. It wasn't the elementary school I attended, but it was a school that was nearby that just, you know, it was a little further away. And I just ended up working in there during the summer. And a lot of times the janitors and everybody would kind of leave by 2:30, and I would have to stay till 3:30. So sometimes I would be alone in the building. And I remember just really getting the creeps. And I never felt that way when people were in there. But when everybody left and I would hear things and think people were walking in, like, but it sounded like doors were opening and I knew nobody was there. I just, like, it was unsettling. That's all. I mean, nothing. I never saw anything. I mean, I heard plenty, you know, plenty of questionable noises, but I definitely didn't enjoy being in there that last hour. And that went on all summer because I had to do, like, I was doing office work and clerical work and stuff. And I just remember thinking, I don't like being in here. And the school layout was identical to the elementary school that I had gone to. It wasn't the same school, but they had, like, four elementary schools in our town and that were, like, in our whole city that kind of had that same floor plan. And then they just divided everybody up in the city that, like, this, you know, section went to that school. So I knew that school because the school was the same. It was really weird. It was just a different building. But I do remember not liking being in there alone when everybody left. So I don't know. I don't know what to think. I look back on that art closet and I'm like, that was weird. And my friend still remembers it. We're still friends to this day. We still talk. She lives in Arizona now. And she'll even say, she goes, do you remember when we got locked in that art closet and it didn't have a lock? And we'll kind of laugh. But at the same time, we'll go, that was really weird, wasn't it? You know, and we've always kind of said that at the end of laughing about it as a memory. So, yeah, we still remember it. Like, it was, I mean, it was a long time ago, but I can remember it like it just happened. And it was very strange. So, well, anyway, I hope that you have a great holiday and enjoy, again, listening. And I think my dad is a new listener officially now, too, because he really enjoyed what I played for him. He loved the camaraderie between you two. He thought you guys were both hysterical, and he loved it. So, anyway, it was great to have him become a fan as well. So, and he reminded me of that ghost story with his sister's sister-in-law, my aunt's sister-in-law. So that was really cool. I'm glad he reminded me and I could share that with you. So anyway, happy holidays and have a great weekend. Bye.
Happy holidays, Harper, by the way. This call has been sitting in our archive for a little while and that happens sometimes. So that's a little bit that.
One question I have was, like, was a spirit locking you in the art closet because, like, a rogue student was going insane in the art room for some reason?
No, I think it was...
This could either be a good or bad situation.
Where it could be a student or it could be a ghost.
Probably was like a student or something, but that's a...
I don't know. I mean, I think she knows the difference between what that would... I'm guessing there's something paranormal going on
here. Yeah, but still, like, was there a rogue student and the spirit was protecting you in the art closet?
I wonder. I don't know. Very interesting story. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi. Here's a quick story. It's about actually my parents. My dad is a reasonably religious man. I mean, very devout Catholic. Not one of the crazies that is preaching on the corners or anything like that. But he says his prayers every night. He goes to Mass. He's a very devout guy. And him and his brother... had made crucifixes just as a hobby. They're both woodworking guys. So they came up with a design that people liked. It was made of very heavy wood. And all of us have these crucifixes in our houses. So it had been in my parents' house for forever. In the same spot, never moved, nothing Nothing weird ever happened in their house at all. I grew up there. And then about 10 years ago, a tragedy for my big Catholic family is we found out my brother-in-law was cheating on my sister, and they were about to get divorced. She had been through it and was in the process of wondering what to do. So fast forward, I'm over at my parents' house, and maybe a week later, and I look down on the floor, and one of the tiles is cracked. What the heck happened here? You know, how'd the tile get cracked? And my dad just goes, the crucifix fell off the wall the other night, and they were very heavy, and cracked the tile. And we later learned that the crucifix never moved before, hasn't moved since. But it was that night that my dad, finding out his daughter had been cheated on, had all these thoughts about being a good father, going over there and hurting my brother-in-law, strangling him, murdering him, all the thoughts that fathers have when their daughter has been through something trauma by somebody else. So he never put two and two together. He never thought that there was any kind of link. It never occurred to him that there might be something supernatural going on, that the night that he thought these very evil, bad thoughts, a crucifix would fall off of the wall onto the floor that has never moved before and never since. But I thought, I've always had this, I'll call it a sense. It's one of those things, you've had premonitions that have come true, those sorts of things. So I'm not as in tune with it as somebody that has ESP, but I know it's there. I just kind of ignore it. But it being able to sense that, put two and two together, I suggested that. My dad goes, you're crazy. And I just remember thinking, I'm crazy. The crucifix has never moved before, hasn't moved since. The night you have evil thoughts, it falls off the wall, but that's me. So anyway, I thought you might enjoy that story. It's just somewhat interesting, might be a coincidence, but I would suspect that it's some sort of sign that he was going down the wrong path and needed to be corrected.
Or was it a sign that he should use the crucifix that fell off the wall to impale the person who was wronging the daughter?
Oh, God.
That would be what I would go with.
Want to know what a title of a horror movie should be?
What?
The Crucifix.
And that's the story. It's this crucifix. It's like it keeps getting passed on from like person to person in weird ways. Like, it was picked up at a thrift store, or it was picked up at a garage sale. It just, we found this. It's a crucifix.
But it's used to impale people.
Over and over and over. And then it's like, gosh, this is...
And then it makes it to one final Modern Family. And
in the end, that's the finishing scene of the movie. It's this family there's nothing wrong with them. There's nothing like that you would suspect any sort of murderous thing going on. And it's like, it just ends as like everybody's happy. It's a family dinner out on the patio. It's a bright scene. It's really nice and warm. And then like, honey, look what I found at this garage sale today. And then she just puts it up on the patio where it's so bright and happy. And then the camera just kind of pans out as the family starts eating. And then it slowly like moves in on the husband's eyes. And they're like, kind of like twitching, like looking around. Or like the wife says something I heard you saw Tammy today at the grocery store. And like, that's like somebody's having an affair with or something. And
Or better yet, the crucifix flies off the wall and impales everyone.
That would be too extreme to happen in this movie. But I think that would be interesting.
And then the ending scene is the father and the crucifix is just in his eyeball.
But does anyone actually use the crucifix to do anything? Or does the crucifix like simply do it by itself? Like it just keeps falling off of odd locations?
The crucifix flies off the walls and impales people.
So nobody's like grabbing the crucifix and like stabbing somebody with it. It just like...
Well, that's the beginning story before it ended up in the thrift store.
So initially it's used in a horrible crime by somebody.
Yes.
And then after that, it's the negative energy attached to it that then does everything else.
Yes.
We just created a great movie.
Someone make this. If any movie writer out there hears this, make this movie. Okay?
There's probably some B movie that could be made out of this. That'd be great.
The B movie?
No, not the B movie, but like a...
The B movie with crucifixes and exorcism.
No, Harper's thinking of the B movie, like literally the B movie with Jerry, with Jerry Seinfeld. No, B movies mean they weren't ever in theaters, although that's most movies now. They were just made for like, it used to be for VHS or DVD or just on demand now. There's a lot of really crappy horror movies that are made, and it's like with far worse plot points than this.
But yet again, and then a family finds the VHS, and then that starts a whole thing.
Want to hear a story want to hear a horrible story of your father and a crucifix?
What?
Yes.
What?
The horrible story of your father and a crucifix.
So, aka the horrible story of you and a crucifix?
So, when I was a young lad...
And we're not even British.
When I was a young lad and attending, it was church. It was catechism class. I was Lutheran, so you learn Martin Luther's catechism in that setting, and it was like a weekly thing on Wednesdays. I think it was like seventh grade or so. And then you get confirmed, meaning you can take communion in the Lutheran religion. And so that happens at about seventh grade, eighth grade, somewhere around there. But it's like every year for like 3 years, you take these classes. And it was one of the last years. And I remember there was a little wooden cross on the wall in the room. And I think I just recently seen like a horror movie, like The Exorcist or something.
The power of Christ compels you.
Yes. And... Now, you never do this. This is horrible. Do not ever do this. Do not repeat the actions of your father.
Okay.
Looking back, I can't believe I did this because I was really a soft-spoken kid and I was really kind of shy, believe it or not. And I wasn't. I could be a smartass, but I was very quiet about it. I was very kind of, you know, very satirically minded the way I did things. It's like you got to kind of notice something happened for anything to like be, you know. So... And I'm always early to everything. So I get to catechism class. First one in this room. And I see this little wooden crucifix on the wall. And my smart ass mind goes, what if I turn it upside down?
Oh, God.
Like in the movie.
No.
And don't say anything to anybody. And just let it ride until somebody realizes it. And so I did. And this is horrible. Again, not recommended. Don't do it. This was bad. I regret doing it. I look back on it and I kind of got to find some humor, but I was young and dumb. So I did it. Class starts. Everybody gets in there eventually. And it's taught by one of the pastors. And he's up at the front and he's, you know, doing his thing. And all of a sudden he just stops. And he sees... This crucifix is on the back wall. And he's like, who did this? And I didn't say shit. I did kind of giggle though. And
did you get in trouble for giggling?
No one ever really found out who did it.
Really?
Nope.
That's horrible.
I just stayed quiet because I realized how bad that was. I didn't realize it was going to be. I guess I didn't realize the significance of how disrespectful that was at that moment in time. I don't know why I didn't. I should have. But I was, again, young and dumb. So I didn't realize how bad. If I knew like that was going to happen, I wouldn't have done it. But it was like a good half hour of like berating the class and trying to figure out who did it. And honestly, no one would ever suspect me. Because I was not the kid that anyone would think would do something like that. I was very straight-laced. I just didn't do... That's like one of the worst things I did. Like, I just didn't get into trouble. I was not a troublemaker kid. I was mainly friends with my teachers and such, more than the kids. And I was loved by the teachers. I'm still friends with a lot of my teachers. But, yeah, it was... I just thought, oh, this will be kind of funny. I don't know why. Maybe I was possessed at the moment. But there you go.
Dad was possessed.
So don't ever do that.
Right before Lutheran class.
Don't right before Lutheran class. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories and get access to all of our bonus episodes and more. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Harper, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.